Welcome, everyone. This is a completely organic conversation that we are having here today, and a first. We are talking about men and mental health specifically. And the reason why we are showing up today is because of a suicide that occurred in our industry 11 days ago. And I think this is a great opportunity to pay respect, not only to Clive, otherwise known as Billy, but also to other crew members who have lost their lives as a result of suicide. So I'm going to go around the table and we're going to do a quick introduction so you can meet these amazing men who are showing up with courage today, our true industry leaders. And I couldn't be more grateful and more proud to be able to put this on for crew. We are standing here, sitting here today as a voice for crew. So we want to speak up, and please note that this is a live session. So with this tool that I'm using today, we are broadcasting on LinkedIn and the Crew Coach Facebook page. You can use the comment section where you can be included in the conversation. Perhaps I'll invite the listeners to do it. We can do a Q&A at the end, and I'll read out the comments to the panelists, and we can do our best to answer those questions. So feel free to participate. Okay, let's get going. So I have James as my number one here. James, if you don't mind doing a quick introduction, how long you've been working in the industry, your title, and I think more importantly, why did you agree to show up today? And that includes everyone. When you have your turn, if you can answer that question, that'd be wonderful.
Hi, Corinne. My name is James Fisk. I have been in the industry for about 25 years. It's a little hard to pinpoint when I started. I've had command of boats now for 11 or 12 years. And operated all over the world with a great number of crew, huge range of nationalities. And I've seen a wide range of issues that crew have had over the years. I've dealt with some of them well, I think, and I'll hold my hands up and say that some of them I haven't dealt with so well. But we're on a constant process of learning as individuals and as captains. Why am I here today? I have strong feelings about how crew are supported in the industry. My own experiences working in various environments. I've had some great support and I've had some not so great support. So I think learning about the suicide recently touched a bit of a nerve for me, and I wanted to see if I could make some sort of an impact, you know, and start a conversation.
Thank you, James. Fabulous. Brendan, over to you.
Thanks, Corinne, and thanks, James and Michael, Tom. Brendan O'Shaughnessy, I went to sea first at age 17, so I've only been doing it a couple of years, so getting the hang of it slowly. I came in today and I've sought to learn more about psychological health, mainly because to not address and not reverse, but I was so blind to it early on in my career. I was the leader that charged on towards the task, irrespective of the needs of the people around me. And it was really limiting on my own captaincy, the performance of the team, and damaging to the individuals. So I sought to learn, educate, and redress that behaviour. So that's why I came into this space.
Thank you, Brendan. Michael.
My name is Michael Gooding. Thanks, Corinne. Thanks, James, Brendan, Tom. I've been in the industry now for about 35 years. Not by my age. I started when I was two or something, I think. But the industry I just love. People talk to me about, and I'm sure that everyone here as well. People come up and say, sort of, do you like your job? I'm going, I love my job. Like it's, and the main reason for that is because it's the people. So it's the crew, the people that we meet, and that sort of thing. Corinne and I have had a little bit of a conversation previously where the the crew are our biggest asset, and they're the biggest, our biggest job, to support them, to be able to encourage them. People come in and we want them to develop. So they might not be with us for very long, but, you know, sort of if we can help them go on further, it's great. And they are us. Like, if we didn't have the crew, then we wouldn't be anything. So for us to be able to support them is really important. And us as leaders and captains, we all learn. We start off quite often really young as captains and maybe don't have the experience. And I think that this is an avenue to try and expand on that. I think that there's a leadership prospect as far as being able to encourage people to advance that. So, and from a personal perspective, so that for me, the crew is important, and that's one of the, well, probably the reason why I'm in the space. And for those people also, I was talking to Corinne later on, after I agreed to be part of the panel, and I worked with Billy quite a few years ago now, so it really touched a nerve and made me think back about his personality, and if he came to me today, what were the questions that he would have been asking, or how would I have been able to support him? So that's my take. Yeah.
Thanks, Michael. Tom.
Good morning, Corinne, James, Brendan, Michael. Very good to meet you all. First off, I'd like to say my condolences to Billy's friends and family. It's never something we want to be dealing with, especially in something so close to us and industry. So I've been in the industry for 5 years. And before that, I was in the British military for 8 years. And I can draw a lot of similarities between the two. And a lot of it has to do with the way people can talk to each other and resolve certain issues. We actually came up with the Salt Lick idea to bring crew closer together and create an environment of inclusivity and break down a few boundaries. Being in that position, I've had increasingly more and more people come to me and ask, you know, for advice, and it's not a position I've you know, found myself in, especially in touching on this subject. So I've had to think more and more about it. So today I'm here to draw from past experience, my own experiences, and yeah, also learn from you guys. So thank you
everyone. So I have been in touch with Billy's mum, Mary, and she has shared with me part of the suicide email that she received from her son. And what it's suggesting, and based on the survey that I sent out about 5 days ago and the responses that I'm receiving, it has a lot to do with leadership. So where do we even begin to tackle this issue, and what are the solutions moving forward? There are inappropriate behaviors occurring in what we call a 7-star industry. If anything like this were to occur land-based, it would be a lot of trouble and criminal charges. Billy mum, yesterday when I reached out to her, there's been no communication with regards to when his body will be sent home after 10 days. Now, there's something massively going wrong here. Another issue that I'm very concerned about is not one yacht management company or head of department from a captain's perspective, besides you all, have reached out and said, what can we do to help? Not one. How sad's that? That's basic communication.
I think that you've hit the nail on the head there, Corinne, that the where do we start with this? Well, leadership starts from the top. And you know, as captains, we often work under management companies. How we define that, whether we work directly for the owner, but we work sort of under alongside management companies. Challenging these behaviours, these you know, appalling behaviours by other captains or other leaders in the industry, members of the management team, that has to happen. Because if they're not getting it right, then it's not going to trickle down through the system.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, as we all know, there's no HR department as such on board a ship, because we're in this bubble. And I feel like you said, James, things need to be trickled down from the top. But at the same time, drawing from my previous experience in the military, we had certain people designated when we went on operations, or we went away for a large amount of time, and you couldn't go home. Very much like in your industry, you don't have a choice. If you're out at sea, you're staying there for a while. So what you have to deal with your issues in a very confined environment amongst other people. So you don't necessarily have time to talk to people who you necessarily want to talk to. So we actually had a designated people within the troops, within the sections, that were TRIM trained, which is trauma risk management trained people. And they were trained to identify certain early warning signs in other members of the teams. So if they saw someone, I don't know, sitting by themselves a little bit too much, they would act as that person, the sort of the middleman between the lads and the person who was being, you know, alienated or just had a bit of an issue at the time, someone they felt like they could speak to. And that could have been anyone. It could have been the lowest ranking Marine. It could have been a sergeant. It could have been a sergeant major. Anyone that was put forward to that, designated to that training, they would take on that responsibility. But for the way you said, starts from the top. Absolutely. If captains designated people to go on these courses, and you know they were taught to read these early warning signs, I think it'd be hugely beneficial.
It is amazing, isn't it? We go through a lot of courses to be able to take on a command, navigation, business, stability, all these sorts of things, and not once did I go through any leadership training or mental health awareness training. Just didn't exist. So when I got my first command, you're then left to be responsible for however many crew it was at the time. And it's the same for anyone really coming through now. You sort of get dropped into that senior role, and you're expected to be able to just get on with it and do it. And if we haven't had the training, it's kind of hard to expect other people who haven't had the training to behave in the correct manner.
Yep. Yeah. I think I think that so I was a lecturer at the Australian Maritime College in Australia and headed up Master 3000. And so all of the training that a lot of us have been through, and I know that it has changed a little bit now. There is a little bit more emphasis on the leadership qualities that you need to have, I guess, to accomplish what we need to achieve. So there is a little bit of a lean towards that. However, it's still really small. Like, most of our job relates to human resources. It's our, you know, sort of 95%, and we do get concentrated into people go, you know, sort of, you can, you know, sort of, you drive a boat, but the human element is such a big part. I've been talking to a couple of people just recently about how we encourage people to do, whether it's professional development or some sort of process where, okay, if this is the training that we've got, that doesn't mean that that's where we stop. You know, sort of, there is all of these other things, that the skills that we can develop to do our job better. And I think that that's also about, leadership is also about the team. You know, sort of, my last first officer would always, we would have a meeting every morning, and, you know, sort of they'd come up and they'd go, Billy's having a bad day, what can we do? And that communication is huge. And I feel like, you know, sort of none of us can be, have all of the skills. So us being able to develop a network, whether it's with the first officer and other team members, and like you said, it could be sort of someone in either a different rank, but being able to see someone and encourage the team to be part of that process, to talk and to get us all through to whatever schedule we're trying to get to. Sorry, Brendan, I cut you off.
No, that was all good, Michael. That's some horrific details there, Corinne, about this current case. I don't know enough about it to comment, so I won't go near there. I'd almost like to reverse the narrative and speak about the opportunity. And what I mean by that is I'm doing some writing and some reading. Cornell did a study, Cornell University, funded by Google. And what Google wanted to know is, how do you get high-performance teams? And what came out, and this is a direct citation, is psychological safety is the absolute number one performance level, performance measure for a team. So what does that mean? It is defined as a shared belief that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. For the most part, this belief tends to be taken for granted by the individuals or as a whole. What does that mean? Optimum performance is gained when there is a belief that any crew member will not be punished or humiliated for speaking up with ideas, questions, concerns, or mistakes. They will not be let go for their employment for no reason or never during their earned leave. So I think the biggest way is to actually say our lack of a coherent approach to psychological safety is really limiting the performance of our yachts. Probably the fastest feedback loop we get to observe behaviour is sport. There's a whistle and a score. It's a very fast feedback loop. There is no mid-level sportsman, not even elite, no logical coach. So we're taking teams into remote areas, kidding ourselves that we're going to be delivering an unparalleled experience. How many times do you see that in a written brochure? But we're not investing into the optimum performance of our team. So I think the opportunity here is to say, look, we need to have trained support so that we can reach optimum performance. The UK have actually amended their Health and Safety Act to include the need for mental health. We're not bound by that law, but I tell you what, it's a pretty good signpost to follow. So that's my contribution. I would actually really like to see it as an opportunity.
Yeah, Brendan, I couldn't agree more. Investing in the people that are tasked with doing the, you know, the things that the crew are expected to do. I mean, we move heaven and earth for when we're on charters and stuff like that. But if you're not investing time and effort into the crew's well-being, then, you know, how can you expect them to perform in a way that you're, you know, you want them to at the highest level?
Yeah, Tom, and my mea culpa at the opening is before I sought training, I had no awareness of the signposts, the tools, and the next actions. So I couldn't recognise symptoms. Even if I did, I didn't quite know how to deal with it. Run away and pretend it isn't a problem might have been one action, and nor did I know how to refer onwards. Reverse that to first aid. And James, I think you mentioned this. We're all grown up doing our physical first aid. And yes, and Rhea's put in the comments, physical violence is definitely out there as well, but it's a little bit more visible. Marginal comment there. But the fact that until I had the training, I didn't even know how to communicate on the topic. So I think that's a big one, that as leaders, if you don't know how to talk about it, you haven't even got your narrative right. You've got no chance.
Mm. Yeah, there is there's a comment that's coming in, and I find it as I kept sort of progressing and learning from others. As captains, we are seen to be, to some extent, removed. I try to encourage crew members to come and talk to me all the time, but there is that barrier. And for us to be able to work as a team, whether it's the first officer or someone else that's in your team that can recognise signs and symptoms, or someone's having a bad day, or I just, like Tom was talking about with the other team members that are trained to see signs, even though we say that we're open to suggestions, and we are, but there is a perception that we're unreachable as captains, and that we need, whether we can change that, I'm not sure, but I do think that we can use other mechanisms to bypass that if that works. Yeah.
The training does exist, certainly within the UK legislation, and you've touched on that there, Brendan, for mental health awareness training and mental health first aid training. So providing someone the skills to become a mental health first aider. And I know we've sat on the same course, Brendan, last year. And it's a great thing to get one or two individuals within the crew trained through to the mental health first aider level, so they can be your eyes and ears in this regards within the crew. But having that whole crew mental health awareness training gives the visibility right through the crew to spot something. Oh, you know, Paul's not doing so well today, or Paul's very quiet, he's not come out of his cabin the last three evenings, and pick up those early warning signs.
So James, interesting you said that. That gives me two segues, which Tom, I think, will get this. I was speaking to a colleague, nothing to do with yachting. He was actually a regimental sergeant major in the military. And he was talking about their morning parade. We're not going to do that, by the way. And he said the point of morning parade for him wasn't to check how shiny someone's shoes were. It's so that he had that daily touch point. Every 24 hours, he saw one of his team members and he could see the tiny differences. And so you don't... If you leave it too long, you've got to see the small differences and get it quickly. And that in yachting, I was told early in my career, a great bit of advice from a captain that I worked with, and he said, you should visit every compartment every day. I said, okay, yeah, that's really good advice. The boat's got a bit bigger and that got a bit harder, to be fair. And translating it, I then moved. I said, I need to actually see every crew member every day. In some manner, I need to actually see them as a person. And that has been my mantra ever since. And that, to me, that tool changed my captaincy. Then you combine it with a bit of training. And I'd say if and basically the the other one of don't second guess that the principal is just about the show going on. Too many captains think that is the only way they can have their employment security. Don't let anything get in the path of the yacht's progress. Must keep going. Must keep it going. If that is an outlier and that is the case, get out of there because you can't lead anymore. But fundamentally, I would back at the big middle of the bell curve of yacht owners, most of them have enormous staff pools within their teams. They want you to lead properly. They want you to look after your people. It's bad business not to.
Yeah. James, I like the idea of the training for all crew, whether it's straight medical or training for mental health. Who's to say that we're not susceptible as well? And to be able to get people to say, you know, sort of having the teamwork and be able to recognise all levels in the team. So I think that's a great thing.
I think it was an interesting comment that just appeared on my screen there from somebody about asking if captains are in the same hotspot as the crew. It's popped up there again. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We are in the same hotspot. We're under enormous pressure to deliver the vessel, to maintain budgets, to manage an owner's expectations, to manage management company's expectations, which may be at odds with an owner's expectations or your own expectations. Yes, we are in a very tricky spot. And you know, one of the reasons I guess I'm here is because I've fallen into that crack between the two and had to sort of take myself out and leave and give myself some space to decompress and get back on tracks personally. So yeah, you know, captains are, we're not perfect. You know, none of us are perfect. Some of us will tell you that we are, but we're definitely not. We're as vulnerable as anybody within the crew structure, and we can be very isolated as well up here. You know, I'm up on the bridge deck here on board at the moment. I'm slightly tucked around a corner, so I don't get much traffic coming past my cabin during the day. So, you know, yeah, we can get quite isolated up here. And if we raise the flag with management or owners, or we start to incur bigger costs, we, you know, is this a bit revolutionary talking about this? I don't know. Do we risk losing our jobs or not being put forward for other jobs by management companies in the future? I don't know, but we have to have these conversations.
Mm. And thank you for being vulnerable there, James. Going to what Michael and what you're sharing there, Michael, you mentioned, you know, picking up the signs when someone's not traveling well. And from what I've been told, in Billy's case, he had worked on this vessel for only 6 weeks and no one could pick up the signs. And his close friends said now they are going back and reading the messages and now they can see some of the signs. So being men here today, what are some of the signs that you might show if you are struggling? What does that look like to you specifically?
So speaking from actual personal experience, by far the hardest thing I've done is leave the military and come into the normal world. And that was very, very scary because a lot of the time you leave the military and you have a bit of an idea of what you're going to do. With the Marines, you generally start a coffee enterprise, you open a gym, or you go into project management. And 9 times out of 10, none of them come off. When I left, I ended up working on a building site before I got into the yachting. And I just felt myself getting into a bit of a downward spiral. I could not get myself together no matter what I did. And probably like thousands and thousands of blokes, they don't really talk about it. They just crack on and just hope everything's going to be all right eventually. And regards to warning signs and stuff like that, I wouldn't say I was in the point of where, you know, I wanted to commit suicide or anything like that. But it was definitely a warning sign, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of people go through when they're going through some sort of anxiety or a little bit of depression or something like that, which then can lead to much worse outcomes. I just could not get out of bed. Honest to God, I literally could not get out of bed no matter what I do. I would finish work at about 6 o'clock in the evening. And instead of doing something, which I'd usually go to the gym or something like that, I'd try to stuff this. I'd have a shower and just get straight into bed at like 6 o'clock in the evening. And for me, that is not a normal thing to do, you know, and just constantly playing this cycle, a loop in my head of, you know, what am I going to do? The worry, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do in a few weeks? Am I making enough money? Am I, you know, just all this self-doubt, you know? And speaking to other people a little bit further down the line, as soon as I got my first gig in yacht, and they were like, Tom, there was a period there where you just seemed very, very unhappy about it. But like you said, no one really flagged up any of the warning signs or any of the signs until you know, it had gone past. You know, I'd already weathered the storm by then. And unfortunately, like you said, it's breaking down the stigma and actually being able to tell someone about it. Because I think if I actually spoke to someone about it, I probably would have felt a whole lot better, to be honest.
So what is it like for a man to reach out for help when you've got that stigma of harden the F up, it's a weakness to show your emotion, all of those old school mentality? And that someone reached out to me and shared that they found that the younger captains were more open and clued on rather than the older generation. And obviously that's a generalization, but it's those dogmatic beliefs that we're coming into conflict with. So if you don't mind, Tom, could you share a bit about that?
Well, Corinne, I grew up in a very English family. So had, you know, my parents probably won't mind me saying this. Hopefully he's not listening behind the door. You know, he had a very sort of Victorian upbringing in the fact that, you know, it was very much British, stiff upper lip, get on with it. Then I joined the military, which was very, very similar. But what I did see going through my time in the military was it was a definite change, because it was between 2009, 2018 that a lot of lads were coming back from Afghanistan and they were having a lot of issues, and it didn't happen straight away. It would normally happen when they'd left the military and they were at home and then had a bit of time to think about it. So actually being told to man up, it was something that I encountered, but at the same time, it is something that is definitely being dealt with. It is definitely being dealt with. I mean, it's not happening probably as quickly as everyone wants it to happen. I mean, the suicide rate in the UK generally is the biggest killer of men under 45. But I think that is slowly decreasing. I think people are, you know, they are becoming a little bit more aware of it, definitely. Being told to man up or harden up, it just is not the right approach. And the sooner people realise that, it's just going to make things so much easier. But having said that, on yachts, I think it's a little bit of a strange dynamic, because I think a lot of people, like say for instance, you've got a greenie who hasn't got a clue what he's doing. Unfortunately, his personality would be defined on the way he conducts his work, and that, you know, that could stay like that for 4 months. So say old Pete wasn't doing too well, you know, he might be alienated by the rest of the deck team because he wasn't necessarily performing the way they want him to perform, and they might see that as part of his personality as well, which just, you know, isn't the case. Could have a great bloke but just doesn't really know what he's doing. So yeah, I hope that's answered your question in a roundabout way.
No, thank you very much. And there have been two comments there, one from Caroline and Stanton as well. Thank you for sharing. So the person struggling, as Caroline said, may not identify exactly with what's going on internally. And then Stanton said it might just feel incredibly overwhelming. And I guess when it feels overwhelming, it's almost like a deer in the headlights and you're like, well, I don't know what's going on here. What do I do with all of this emotion? Can anyone relate to that or speak to that?
Definitely. It takes me, I've got a flashback of being taken out for dinner by my second officer, who I was the captain at the time. He was my second officer. I'd known him for years. We'd done four boats together and I was struggling. And I understand now the concept of the stress bucket. You know, when your stress bucket is full and it overflows, that's when you can't, you know, you start to lose yourself a bit. So my stress bucket was brimming. It was ready to absolutely flow over. And this guy took me out for dinner and he said, what's going on? You know, and I hadn't realized quite how bad I'd got. And they'd had a chat on the boat, the office in the afternoon, and said, someone's got to go and talk to him because this can't carry on. And I hadn't picked up on quite how bad I was. But once I'd had that conversation with him and he sat me down and said, what's going on? Are you okay? And I said, no, I'm not. And then it all just spiraled and it all came out. So, you quite often don't realize quite how far along that road you've gone. And it takes someone else to sort of grab hold of you and say, hang on a second, are you all right?
Absolutely. And Margarita asked, what can women do to make men feel safe to talk about their emotions? And I think it's not only women, it's also men, because on board we work with men and women, and having worked with the male population group in prisons, I saw how deprived they were from connecting to their feelings and how it has really damaged their psyche and impacted the choices that they have made. And going back to that sense of overwhelm and not knowing what to do with all of that emotion connected to trauma, they use substances, and we have a huge substance abuse in our industry. So what can we do to create psychological safety at sea?
I was actually really lucky, and unfortunately we can't all have this, but my first officer is a female, and having her be able to connect the team together was one of my biggest assets in the team. Like, it was just to be able to bring everyone together and talk about, you know, sort of someone's having an issue, or so there was no problem with being able to talk about it. So that actually broke some barriers. So having whether it's a head of department in internal or having a female as a first officer in that or as a captain, I actually felt like that integration worked for me. It worked really well to be able to identify issues, whether it was with substance abuse. Really great guy that had some problems with alcohol, and being able to identify it and talk to him about it. And we talked as a group and saying, you know, sort of, is there any problems? How can we help? I just thought that was, for me, that was a blessing to have that mix.
Thanks, Michael. Okay, so there are a couple of questions here. The comments have been going like crazy, and I've been trying to manage them, and I'm the one popping them up and listening to you all at the same time. So this has actually been a lot harder for me than I thought. So I'm just going to, before we conclude, I'm just going to ask a couple of questions and also solutions moving forward. I know you've mentioned some of you have done your mental health training, you've done leadership courses, and what resources are available for crew if they don't feel like they've got any help on board, or they don't feel comfortable reaching out to DPA or the yacht management company. What are their options? Margarita said, can there be a toolkit created so crew also learn to see their own signs and take their mental health into their own hands? It's usual fear that creates a passivity until it's unbearable. Maybe there's a way to do some self-check mental health. And then Caroline responded, I agree with you. We need to include mental health first aid. And yes, absolutely. I think part of the SDCW, we need to make it mandatory. And Owen, lovely to see you here, Owen. Should we, as the captain management or HOD, just be honest with the new and existing crew about whether they are actually getting themselves into when they join the vessel? People paint a beautiful picture of the industry, then crew are not mentally prepared for the job. What are your thoughts around that, and then resources?
Corinne, I'm going to take a little bit of that. I was just at the Superyacht Forum the other day, and someone spoke on this from the Red Ensign Group very, very well too, I might add. What I see as someone who steps between yachting and commercial shipping, Michael, you may also with your time down at AMC, most commercial mariners, regardless of nationality, come into it from a place of awareness. They come from a commercial maritime culture. A lot of people come into yachting from a liberal arts degree, from a nice middle-class family with your own room and from whatever nation you come to. So your ramp up goes quite high. There are quite a few different pathways to learn more truths about yachting. I think that's really important. And I think I forgot who said it, that someone gets a bit of a reality before they step on. It really has to be before they step on, because it's a bit too late then when you realize that you have to put away all your own things constantly. You have very little personal space inside or outside. Recreational area is more a concept than a reality. So I think that's really important, that pre-education. And the trainers are doing a good job. They are beginning to do more than just a, here's a fire extinguisher, here's a BA system. They are doing a lot more. So I think more leaning in there helps. I just want to catch one in here. Someone said, can I ask about stigmatism for men and women, whether yachting criticised people who may be older and not in a higher position? I think that comes from the maturity of the vessel and the team culture. I worked on a vessel where, because of its specialised nature, we had quite a few different age people. Wow, it made a difference. Because the aviation team was of a certain age, the subsea team were of a certain age. We didn't just have this triangle of age groups. And people really fit in incredibly well with that. So I think that's one for leaders to actually seek that bit of diversity, as opposed to just having the cookie cutter age brackets. I don't know what anyone feels about that, but I found that a real benefit. It's just a case of you have to be able to get the culture up to a stage where it can do so.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, to be honest. Speak from someone that has, you know, fairly recently been in a sort of junior crew environment. Speaking to someone who obviously a lot of captains have been around the block for quite a while. So, you know, naturally they're a little bit older than the junior crew. I've been around captains which have been definitely into their sort of late 50s sort of thing, and speaking to them and then speaking to someone maybe your own age or just a couple of years above makes a huge difference. And yeah, like you said, creating the diversity and giving people the option to speak to people who there's not just one designated person at the top that you have to speak to about this issue. Because I know myself, if I was 21 years old and the only person I could speak to was someone who was probably my father's age, I probably wouldn't go and speak to them. So it is just breaking down the stigma between talking to anyone you can about it, and also having that crew training. So it's not only that they understand what mental health is, they understand consequence as well. Because, you know, I think a lot of the time, for instance, if someone, you know, could be getting a little bit of a hard time, people see it as just a bit of a laugh, bit of banter sort of thing. But then if they don't understand the true consequence of their actions, and then all of a sudden it just gets to a point where it is too late, you know, you can't rewind time, unfortunately. So like you said, having the diversity within the crew for people to be able to speak to other people, maybe their own age, it's a huge thing. And that could be of either sex, you know. Touching on what you said before with how could you speak to an opposite member of the sex about your problem? I for one, I won't beat around the bush. You know, if my girlfriend asks me, "Are you okay?" it's a completely different answer to if one of the lads says to me, "Goes Tom, you're all right, mate." It is completely different, and unfortunately, that is something we need to work around.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. There's a push with suicide awareness training that when you go and ask someone, "Hey, how you doing?" the response is always, "Oh yeah, great, thanks." But then you ask them again, "How are you doing? How is, you know, if you're talking to Paul, you know, Paul, how's Paul today?" You know, you ask that second time, because the first one's almost like a standard greeting, but it's asking again, "How are you?" And it gives that person a chance to say, actually, yeah, you know what? I'm not doing so good today.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Great advice.
Yeah, one of the comments that came up about a mixture of crew, I think is really critical. You know, sort of like I said, with us being in a position where people maybe are reluctant to speak to us, and where they're more comfortable with speaking with whether it's a female or whether it's a younger person, I think that having that understanding that there is a gap there, and be able to work as a team, I think for us is a real asset to try and encourage if we can.
Yes. I just want to acknowledge. Yeah, you go ahead, Brendan.
No, I'm just going to do it again. I'll just say my own failings. You can't just speak it either for the captains listening on the call. I know myself, I would give the crew mess talk and there would always be the guys, there's the are you okay, ask it, and I'd talk it. I'd be up on the bridge an hour later and I'd slip into the equivalent of sort of locker room banter, which I thought was all very funny. And it wasn't until a really trusted colleague said, "Jeepers, you put that guy down. He doesn't cope well with that." And I'm going, "What, aren't I just the funny guy?" No, I really wasn't. It was cruel. Yeah. So I think for the senior team members, your behaviour is it's under more scrutiny. You are under more scrutiny. That is on and off the boat, social at 6 o'clock at night, social at midnight. Your behaviour has a consequence. So that, you know, training, everything else, there is something to be said for owning your own behaviour and realising that what you find humorous could be derisive to someone else. There is another tool that isn't in play enough in yachting, and I had it jokingly said to me, but also true, captain's performance appraisals. Well, they're binary, aren't they? One, you have a job, zero, you don't. That's the performance appraisal. And I was like, the book I've bought most for other seafarers is called Into the Raging Sea, about the sinking of the El Faro. 2015, cost 33 lives. One of the major findings was the captain didn't have a performance appraisal, so was so self-conscious about his position that he stood the vessel into danger, eventually losing the vessel. So if crew don't have that end of roster, we've got so many more people on rotational employment these days, that end of roster, start of roster conversation, captains don't have some form of 360 performance appraisal, we haven't got the tools to get this going. So I think there's some people have asked, what are the structural things? I think that's really important, that people do have feedback loops.
Yeah. It's I'm not suggesting that this is what we do, but this is something that I've done in the past where we quite often we come from different industries and performance appraisals are something that we do every year. But it does in the yachting industry, it sort of seems to have not be there. So I have a performance appraisal that I set up. It's a two-way. I appraise myself. I get other people to appraise it. So there's two groups that I send it to. I send it to the owner and I send it to the crew. And with the crew one, it's anonymous. So they can provide feedback, be able to let me know if I'm doing the right job for them, and how I can support them better. So, Brendan, great insight. Like with that, being able to, we're not gods. Some people think that maybe they are, but we're not gods, and we do fail. And there's things that we can improve on as well. And maybe there's a way that we can provide or get that feedback so that we can then help the crew members do what they do better.
Bravo. Well said. I think that is so, so important. And just speaking to my leadership students, and I ask, have you ever received a feedback appraisal in your career? And 99% of them say no. And it all starts with self-leadership. If you're not aware of your blind spots, you can cause a lot of damage. So, it's about stepping into that leadership role and being okay with people telling you, hey, that's not okay what you just did. That really impacted me, so that we can change behavior. Right. Is there an opportunity to create an active mental health protocol that supports captains and crew and builds community on board? So we've got some great suggestions coming through here. Thank you, Zoe. For instance, having monthly group therapy sessions, team building activities, and giving crew members time each week to work on themselves and address the issues. And yeah, I think, look, we're almost at 10 to, and I've got another call that I have to do. And I think this is an incredibly powerful conversation that shouldn't end here. I think we should continue the conversations. And I'm sure more people will have the courage to reach out and speak up, which we really, really need to do. I think that we have been afraid to speak up. We don't know if we're going to lose our jobs if we speak up, but I think the time is right. We cannot lose another life, and we can't have crew members suffering alone. And yeah, the other Facebook user who said that they went to a recruitment agency and were not accepted because of their age, there is discrimination within our industry. And I know Margarita is very passionate about diversity and inclusion, and perhaps this is another topic that we can bring to the table in the future. Sheldon, last comments. I personally feel like the people, and I'll just make this live, the people and businesses, management companies who are benefiting the most from the success of yachts need to take more responsibility and make changes in the way vessels are run, giving more support towards captains and incorporating a healthy lifestyle culture into the SMS. It should be mandatory for vessels to make time for these issues being discussed. We have the obligation to follow strict procedures for everything on board a vessel, yet there seems to be a ... And maybe there's another post coming there, but very well said, Sheldon. Thank you for having the courage to share that. While we are wrapping things up, any last words?
Yeah, look, just on Sheldon's one there, a very good firm supported yachtcrewhelp.org. And I'm happy to name yachtcrewhelp.org. It's a not-for-profit. We all know about it. And then sent it out to the yacht saying, there it is. There's your mental health package. It's not. It's a fence on the edge of a cliff. It is a helpline. In and unto itself, it is not the support package. Ideally, I use the fence on the edge of a cliff analogy that Tony Nicholson gave me. You want to be doing the performance appraisals, all of what's being said, open dialogue, because that's the 3 kilometres inland before you're ever near the cliff. So I think just on that, the comment from, I've just now lost it,
Sheldon,
that yes, that way into the SMS. Yachts are time poor. It'd be real realistic. They are very time poor. So there is a time to prioritise this type of activity. The concept of let's team building, whilst merit worthy, needs to be some realistic in that. A go-kart event once a quarter may not be enough for the daily practice of keeping people strong. I'm going to go back to my very opening one as we finish. It's just there's an opportunity for us to improve our performance. Let's not make it a problem. It's an opportunity to improve performance.
Yeah, Brendan, you mentioned the go-karting once in a blue moon sort of thing. We started up the fitness Salt Lick side of things, we actually approached the chief officer and we said, listen, is this something we can do every single week at a certain time? And the idea behind of doing what we were doing, it doesn't have to be in a fitness environment, but just to give people, like Zoe said, a little bit of space to focus on themselves, a little bit of time away from the day-to-day humdrum of scrubbing teak or cleaning toilets, something like that, just something to get away from it. And we found it in creating a crew environment in just basically working out together. It's great on the dock. And it breaks down social barriers, breaks down stigmas, and before you know it, like we saw it coming in pretty thick and fast. People were coming to us and saying, listen, you know, is this, you know, I know you're doing this. Can I have a word sort of thing, you know, because the captains and chief officers were training with the junior ranks, and everyone was getting on together, and they were seeing people what they were outside of that work environment, and it broke down that work employee, which obviously you need, but outside of work, it just sort of really, I think it really helped people, especially if it's a scheduled in appointment during the week. Obviously, when you're on char, it's a little bit different, but if you get the chance, you know, it's so beneficial to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, I do think that that physical activity is, and again, they're definitely linked. We do have a bit of a culture of work hard, play hard. And so sometimes which comes first is the alcohol or does that come first and then possibly some mental health issues or the mental health issues and then the alcohol. So I think us being a healthy environment for the crew, both physically and mentally, I think is a big thing.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, everyone, for starting the conversation.